If you have looked through, right, the lens of a camera, and I want to show something in practice. If you take the lens of a camera and you look at a camera and you look through it, all right, you'll find out that if the image is blurred, they will tell you that the problem is that it's not focused. Start focusing, turning the lens to focus so that the image becomes sharp. So what we are saying is this: if we ask people, all right, about the outcomes in their life, about what they are seeing presently, we are not talking about revelation of the scriptures now. We are talking about what they are seeing now with their mind's eye. What they are seeing. Yes, they can explain the scripture, but what are you seeing from that scripture? If it is blurred, if, all right, the picture is not sharp, if it's not crystal clear, it's because it's out of focus. In other words, you are, all right, have many other things on your mind apart from that very thing that you really should be reaching for. It shows that it's not focused. All right, this tells us how the image of God's promises to you are not clear and distinct on the inside, all right, within you. And the reason is that you are distracted by so many other things. Cares of this world, all right, lust of other things, all right, has gone in. Outlines have been blurred. Okay, you can recite the scripture and say it as a hearer, but you've looked at yourself and it's not clear. All right, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that with an open face. That word open means revelation of the word. It says we look as though we are beholding in a mirror. When you are looking at something in a mirror, it is clear. The glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into that same image, all right, from one level of glory to another level of glory. Right? From one level of glory. So you should be looking at it. Okay? I mean, it was this film, Lion King, a long time ago. But when, I think Simba was the lion. Right? When father was dead and then he had started acting with all the other normal animals, chimpanzee and all of that. And then the elder came, the monkey, and said, you need to get back on course. And what did he do? Right? It placed, right, water there, wanted to look into it. And then said, look. And it was blood. And if it's blood, nothing happened. Said, keep looking. And he kept. He started getting clear. And that's the way you do it. All right? I talked about somebody who says, well, I have an addiction. What does that person do? Right? He places his mind. Tries to do it. Places his mind. But because it is a stronghold, he still takes the alcohol. And begins to drink. Now, here is where you mustn't make a mistake. Once the person drinks the alcohol, he says, I've been defeated. It did not work. No. Here is what you do. As you pick up the alcohol to drink, shift your mind to the things of the spirit, even if the body is still responding, and declare, I hate iniquity and I love righteousness because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Begin to declare the word of God, even if the body is responding to something. What will happen is that the enjoyment that comes from that thing in the flesh begins to die away, right? As you are maintaining it. In your thought life, there is no connection again. Even though the body is used to doing that thing, you are breaking the allegiance. You are breaking the relationship. You are breaking the association. You are breaking the marriage that has, after some time, what will happen is the body will get. But for you, all right, so do it and then to say, oh, you know, it didn't work and all of that. And then to start repeating and get your mind again to what the flesh is doing, right, it's a great mistake. Now, what you do is, you now, like this chap did here, at every set time here, 3 hours, you move your mind, even when the thoughts. That's what it means to speak the word in season and out of season. When it's in season is when the temptation is there. When it's out of season is when, you know, it's not. Keep moving your mind on it. Keep moving your mind, right? That's how you strengthen yourself in this, all right, work of righteousness. So it says this, that, you know, you behold. And what happens is the more you say it and move your mind, the clearer the picture becomes. The more you say it and move your mind, the clearer the picture becomes. The more you say it and move your mind, the clearer it becomes. All right? Until it gets to the point where the image, all right, starts getting formed on the inside and starts getting crystallized on the inside of you. And as you keep looking at that, and you keep looking at that, and it should be going on periodically, you know, throughout the day, periodically. You shouldn't let your mind, all right, be going, keep doing that, and looking at it. Then the Spirit begins to work, all right, for the production of that. Now, let me just say one thing here, okay? And this has to do with, you know, it's a saying, they say in Yoruba, all right, I'll say it because they explain something here, and then I'll say it in English. You say, why am I saying to Yoruba? Because it's nice when you say it to Yoruba, so I will say it first. It's just nice, all right? When you say it, it's deeper than English, all right? So I'll be doing injustice if I don't say it. And the first time I heard it was in Yoruba here. Well, this is what happened. Because society was predominantly dominated by witchcraft. Before missionaries came, so everything, they were attributed to witchcraft. So when the missionaries came and they came with the camera, and they'll tell them to sit down, the elders, and take the photograph. Bram! And then they'll manufacture the picture and see them, and they'll look at it. Cha! It was magic to them. What? We sat like this. We came out like that. So they now said something. They held the photograph. And this is what the saying is. Oro rogun ya mi se mi o sinu ro photo bo ba se pose be lo se ma ba re. In other words, orogun ya means that family witchcraft doesn't function when it comes to photography. The way you sit down, there can be no demonic interference. It's exactly how you will be when the photograph comes. Now, here is the spiritual point. What they are saying is that whatever is imaged on the inside of you, whatever you are seen as the way you are within, that they have said there is no witchcraft that can stop that thing from manifesting on the outside. That, listen, witchcraft can only operate in the life of a person who is seeing nothing. Which means you can't dominate a child if the father is seeing the child fulfilled this way. You cannot. Once they are seeing it on the inside, that witchcraft, that komo, this witchcraft we have been doing, photography has shown us the limitations of our witchcraft. We cannot go beyond this. Are you following what I'm saying here? So here is what Satan has been doing, using this power. And it's this power that Jacob used to prosper. When he got there and it was the blessing, his father did not give him any money. Isaac was very rich in silver and gold. He only laid hands on Jacob and gave him the blessing. Jacob went out with nothing but the power of the Holy Ghost. And when he got out, all right, Laban said, I have seen that since your coming, things have multiplied. And Jacob gave us the clue. He said, listen, when I want something to happen, he says, the test now was how to get black sheep, brown goats, to produce white, and black to produce brown. So how do you do it? He said, here's how the blessing works. Because the Spirit will transform you into that which you are seeing with your inner eye. So he said, whatever I want the animals to produce, I will put it right before their eyes at the point of conception. They will not conceive according to their DNA. They will conceive according to what they are seeing. Let me tell you, you are not producing according to your family background. You are producing according to the image that is in your heart. The problem is that your family has imaged certain things that you are looking at. Listen, so when the Bible says, don't let this world conform you into its own image, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, he's saying that Satan is using this even in the church. He is getting us to image the things of the world. He is getting us on the inside to keep looking, all right, at things. Now, let me show what I'm saying here. He's doing that, all right, people, okay? Now they asked, all right, Thomas Lipton, who has Lipton tea? They said, how did you succeed? Now, people say money. Let me tell you, it's not money. I heard to read somebody overnight on Facebook saying that, you know, Nigerian young business people are not giving capital to. That's not how this thing works. All right? It's not money. All right? They said to them, how did you build this? Harry Mann said, my father was a clergyman. His annual salary was $200. He said, but I became a billionaire. They said, how did you do it, Thomas Lipton? He said, I started with 25 cents. They said, how? He said, spiritual understanding. He said, when you understand the laws of the Spirit, this power cannot be denied, neither will it fail. They said, what do you do? They said, once you create that ideal where you are going, and it is fixed, and your inner eye is on it, that all the resources that you need in this life will gravitate towards you. People don't know this. I'm telling you this. People will continue to abuse you until you discover the kingdom is in you. What will produce is on the inside of you. So, listen. So, this is what Satan does. The conditions you meet on the outside actually correspond to what you are seeing on the inside. Satan has been using this power. That's why if we tell you to image poverty, it's very easy, because this world has been shooting poverty all your life. You put on the TV, you see poverty. But when we tell you to image what is in God's word, it becomes difficult. All right, because we've not been exercising ourselves in this thing. So what he does is this, all right? While Christians remain largely ignorant, whatever enters the mind through the senses will impress the mind and result into a mental image. So this is what he's doing. He knows that's the power. All right? Once they can see, keep seeing themselves. That's what happened to the Jews. They saw themselves as gospel. I said, it's okay, leave them alone. It's what they're seeing. It's what they're seeing on the inside. Right? So he creates that. Now, the experience of people are therefore the results of their environment, past thinking. All right? On the other hand, God now says, we can change everything. If we go on the inside, and I open your face and give you my thoughts, and then make your eyes first see what is in the word, and then the mental images are constantly formed. All right, so what happened that as we go around through the world, those images are shooting at us. So this gentleman that every 3 hours was pointing himself back was doing what was called renewing his mind so that the environment doesn't hold him down. Do you get what we're saying here? Now, you can't do this once in 2 weeks and get results. He broke it. He kept doing it. And what I thought was that I knew this was the thing. But I thought that Lagos, we people have time. But let me tell you this. Doing this thing and confessing it won't take you more than 20 minutes throughout the entire day, my dear friends. If I ask what the discussion you had on food that yesterday, it could have passed 20 minutes. 3 minutes on this, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m. will change your destiny. All right? It will change your destiny. So he says, whatever. All right? On the other hand, so God wants you to create those thoughts. And then through that interior process, which is meditation, right? Regardless of the thoughts of others, regardless of exterior conditions, regardless of your environment on every hand, regardless of what is going on the outside, regardless of it, you are seeing what God has said in his word. You are looking at that particular thing. Periodically, you are seeing yourself in possession of it. It says it doesn't matter. All right, what is going on? Now, it's one thing for a person to need help because there's an emergency. It's another thing for a person to be defeated. And to think that if people don't stretch out their hands to help them, are you following what I'm saying here? But it comes by you seeing. So don't want to tell me that, you'll be looking for help, all right, on the outside. All right? Now, I'll close with this. It says this. This is how our lives are taken out of the hands of chance, and we consciously make for ourselves that which God himself has promised us, which means that God promises you something. Now, I don't have time to define what it means, eternal means. Because eternal doesn't mean length of time. When he says you have eternal salvation, it doesn't mean forever. It has never meant forever in the Greek. The first statement they make in the Greek is that eternal. This is the first statement, all right, when you read it properly in the Greek, professors of New Testament Greek, eternal, we shall never enter into the full ideas of eternal life until we rid ourselves of almost the instinctive assumption that eternal life means life that goes on forever. When Jesus came and said, I'll give you eternal life, he didn't say, I'm giving you life forever. Because you will have life forever, whether in hell or anywhere, it's forever. All right? When the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the eternal spirit, Satan also will live forever, so he's not talking about forever. Eternal means that which is, wasn't, and is not going to be. In other words, when you talk about eternal salvation, it's trying to describe the way that salvation, the quality, the nature of the salvation, and how it operates. And it says you cannot bring that which is eternal into time, for it is. So what he's telling us is that if we're going to relate with anything, all right, they said eternal is divine, time is human. Once you come into time, you are dealing with humanity. Once you come into eternity, you are dealing with divine. So when God gives you his exceeding great and precious promises to partake of divine nature, he is saying that if you think these promises are going to take time to fulfill, then they will never be fulfilled. When I show you my promise, it's not what I'm going to do, it is what has already been done. It is. So if you think that you will follow the natural order of step one, step two, step three, to be able to afford a house, you will never participate with the divine. The divine says, the day I show you in my word that a house is yours, he said, if you thought it would take 1,000 years, crunch it into a day and make it yours now. For whoever comes to God must believe he is. Which means this salvation, the only way you can relate with it is that you call it into existence as though it were, or it will never appear. Eternal life doesn't grow old. So when that life manifests in a mortal flesh, it's saying that your cells remain the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you run with a child and you are panting and you say, young man, don't you know that I'm growing old? You are denying yourself eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? When you open your mouth and you say, you know, by the time I'm 70 or 80, you know, I'll be walking, I'll retire because I'll be so tired. You are denying yourself eternal life. When they were in the wilderness and their clothes did not grow old, that is eternal life. Do you understand this? Eternal life erases time. Listen to me, it's not salvation that is forever. It's salvation that is or it will never become. Do you get what we're saying here? They said if you take eternity and try to bring it into time, you lose the essence of it. In fact, the Greek people, when they were bringing the word out, said it is a curse, and they described the curse, for you to think of eternity as that which is forever. That is not that. Everything will be forever. It's not that. It's saying, right, the quality and the nature, the way you relate, all right, with your, which means you enter, which means anytime something is not on the outside and you enter into it, as though it were, you've partaken of the divine nature. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? So you look at a house and says, in 15 years' time, I'll be able to buy this house. Wait there. You are talking about humanity. You see a house, you find in scripture, this house is yours. You start saying it is yours. And it says, when eternal life manifests, you yourself will be surprised at how it will come to pass without. Joseph did not have to go through the ropes to become prime minister. Joseph went from one point to another point, 1,000 years crunched into a day. Are you following what I'm saying here? From the prison you became, you cannot explain it, he sprang out. That is the power of the endless life. Are you telling me that when Jesus came and said, I'm giving you eternal life, he was saying, I'm giving you life to live forever? The demons will live forever. Everybody will live forever. That is not what he's saying. He's saying this is the quality of life that I'm talking about. And the way you relate with this life, all right, is that you talk about it as something that is already in operation within your life. All right, so this is why you constantly have to have time periods bring. Because let me tell you this, every day you react in the world doesn't look the way the word of God looks. And if you keep hanging around the world, your mind will take the shape of the world. So when your mind relates to the world a bit, you come back after 3 hours and put it back on that which is eternal. Then you go back, and then you put it back on that which is eternal. Then you go back, and then you put it back until after some time, your mind takes the shape of the eternal. Do you get what I'm saying? So no matter what appears in your life, you already are, then it manifests. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.